You're listening to The B-Side, a podcast of Blessed Hope Community Church.
Hey, this is Malia, your host as usual, and I'm joined today by my co-host, Pastor David.
Hello.
And it's a little gloomy out today.
It's a good day.
Did the hail wake you up last night, no. Or were you already awake?
Nothing. I did not wake up at anything.
Oh my gosh. It woke me up twice last night.
No, it was funny because the girls actually slept downstairs because, mm-hmm. you know, they didn't say they were nervous, but you could just kind of tell. So I suggested, I was like, you guys want to sleep on the couches down here? And they both were like jumped right at it.
Oh, that's
funny. Because we were preparing for, when I was looking at my app at one point, I was preparing for my phone to go off, like a warning. Yeah. Like we'd be sleeping there, and all of a sudden I'm like, "All right, I guess we're awake." Went to bed and never, woke up once.
Yeah, I know. When I left here, left the church last night at 5, I was like, I was coming back this morning, and so I just kind of left everything out on my desk, and I was like, "Well, I hope this is all still here when I come back."
Nice.
I mean, I don't typically. Like storms, I don't get anxious about them really, but I've never been in like a traumatic situation. Yeah. It's like we've had damage and stuff like that from storms, but it's never been like, really crazy or anything. Yeah. So,
they don't scare me. Actually, it's the joke of being a Midwesterner, we are the idiots that, tornado, let's go outside.
Oh, we totally do that.
Like, let's see what's going on. And but I did, we used to have a church camp we went to that was old, rickety, like nothing, just cabins, mm-hmm. campers. But when I was probably 6 or 7, we had 3 tornadoes come through in one night.
Wow.
Our family slept through the whole thing. Like I did, my parents did. Woke up the next day and there was a massive oak tree that was like on our camp. There was a lot of trees down, but an oak tree, it looked like it completely got picked straight up, mm-hmm. and then just laid down.
Oh, crazy.
And so we have a picture, my parents do, of me as a little kid, uh-huh. In my 80s outfit of, gym shorts.
Yes!
And like running past the tree. Like that's a picture of me running past the tree. And here's this massive, so it should have been a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
But we slept right through it.
Oh, that's funny. So, yeah. We would probably do the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm just a much, I don't sleep as deep as I used to. And so things wake me up now. So that's kind of annoying.
Yeah. So.
I think we need to see these pictures of 80s David too.
No. No. Nope. They're hidden away somewhere.
I always like looking at pictures from when we were kids and stuff. It's always a lot of fun.
I like looking. We were talking to the girls about school pictures and mm-hmm. how, and I was having flashbacks to, some. I remember some of my, the big, big, massive collars.
Yeah.
Like these uh-huh. 1980s.
Yeah.
Just like shiny shirts. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, yeah.
Do you think we'll feel the same way about our styles and trends now as we do about the ones from the 80s? Or were they really just that bad?
I don't think they were.
Because
they had. That was personality back then.
Well, have you ever seen the memes or whatever of like, this is what our kids look like in their school pictures and they look so cute and nice. And then it's like, this is what I looked like.
Yeah.
And it's like awful, huge glasses, big hair, craziness. No,
I'm sure everybody's going to be embarrassed by their childhood look. Yeah. But I think there was something to speak about like the 70s and 80s mm-hmm. and 90s that... Mm-hmm. That was a unique
yes, and
time.
We are so lucky we got to live for a lot
of the way people dressed and looked. I mean, nothing beats the 80s of everything was bright, colorful.
Mm-hmm. That's coming back.
I mean, it is. Okay.
It is. I might have just bought something bright
there you go.
last week. So there you go. Well, I actually think about that a lot of times. I'm like, man, I wish I would have held on to this particular item of clothing or whatever, because I'm like, it'd be like really popular right now.
Well, but, I guess start buying your hairspray for big hair to come back.
That doesn't look good.
What they call it? What was it called? Like Aquanet?
Yes.
Yeah. Get your big bottles of Aquanet.
Yep, I had Aquanet.
So
you better believe it. All right. So we are still trucking along in our Narrow Road series. We're gonna obviously take a break this Sunday for Easter. Really excited. I actually love Easter Sunday even more than. Like our Christmas Eve service. I don't know what it is. I think it's just the time of year.
Yeah.
And I think it's because it's during the day versus evening, maybe. I don't know. It's just fun. I love it.
Well, Easter is a fun time.
Yeah.
It really is. It should be. I mean, there's usually a lot of excitement. People just kind of come with, you know, which I will say is a great thing. But at the same time, it should challenge us a little bit. If you come with an extra excitement on Easter, remember, every Sunday is. That's why we worship on Sunday. It's Resurrection Day.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just something to remember. It's like when we come with this, like, yeah, it's a great day. Well, that's the intention of every Sunday. Mm-hmm. That's why they changed. That's why we started worshiping as a church on Sundays. It's Resurrection Day.
Yeah. It's not just going to be Donut Sunday.
Yeah.
It's every Sunday.
It's right.
Which people were very upset there were no donuts on Sunday.
I heard. I never eat them. So that's why
you don't?
I can't know. Why? I can't before church.
Oh.
There's just something I just don't like.
You're not a donut person?
Not.
Or just eating and before you preach?
Before church, but I'm a snob when it comes. I mean,
the donuts we get aren't good enough for Pastor David, is what you're saying.
They're just not my. Yeah.
Well, what? Okay, what is your preferred donut?
Oh, well, Krispy Kreme is like the greatest donut ever. Well,
okay, but we can't get those here.
Nothing really that's... I mean, I like...
I think Glazers come the closest.
Yeah, I mean, they're closest.
You'd have to like heat them.
You heat them up. Yeah, when you heat them up, they're amazing.
Right.
Don't get me wrong, they're close.
Okay.
But they also have ones here at Quickstar that are the Glazers that have like chocolate drizzled on top.
Ooh.
Like not a coat, but they like... Those are good.
Okay.
But I don't know. Years ago, I worked for Casey's. And I had to get up and do the donuts. And maybe that just broke me.
Oh, you made them?
I had to make them.
Yeah, that would do
maybe it. Maybe that's because ever since then. I mean, I enjoy them, but they're just not like,
right. Okay.
So anyway.
This is the only time I ever really have donuts is when we have Donut Sunday. So I always get really excited. Okay. So a couple weeks ago, we talked about God doing the impossible. And then this past Sunday, it was still kind of the narrow road,
but
kind of pre-Easter, like kind of melding them together, talking about Jesus as king. So let's go back to the previous Sunday just for a little bit here and talk about, so one of your statements was, walking the narrow road is to live in the confidence that with God, the impossible is possible. So, absolutely.
Yep.
We believe this. We know that God can do anything. But what about when there are certain outcomes we desire and maybe God doesn't work that way? Mm-hmm. You know, like the outcome is different than we originally thought he was going to do and we're not feeling like God is doing the impossible.
Yeah. So, in those circumstances, remember that God is still doing the impossible. It's just the impossible is, in many times, his transformation of us.
Yes.
Like he's doing an impossible in us, not for us. So that's one of the things that we can struggle with at times is say, God, why aren't you, you know, this is the way I think you need to move. And we lose sight of the work that he's doing that sometimes we're the most impossible thing to move. Mm-hmm. And so he's always doing something that's impossible. So I think that's one of the things we need to understand. When he conforms us to his image, that's actually him doing the impossible.
Right.
Because, again, it's something I cannot do in and of myself. And my own, you know, my own disobedience gets in the way. So when he still makes that happen, I mean, he's doing impossible things and amazing things.
Sure.
The other thing that's hard about it is his timetable is just not ours. So a lot of times I think our frustration comes because we want the immediate and the immediate is not, sometimes him teaching us patience again is an impossible. He's doing the impossible.
Yeah.
Like stop.
Yeah.
You know, and just listen and trust me. So he's always doing impossible things. It's just a matter if we're paying attention.
Man, it's been a while since the phones rang during the podcast.
I'm loving trying to say all this and your facial expressions are like, I've had a couple of moments like, should I just stop and wait and we'll cut this out?
Listen, it's all good. So, we just roll with it.
Yeah. But again, I think that's God on a daily basis is doing the impossible. And I think that's why we miss it because we either one, we're not looking at the right things or we're not asking him to show us the right things or we've come to believe that he just won't because for some reason we have this in our, well, you never did this, God.
Right.
And because you never did this, then I'm just going to completely not trust that you can do anything.
So how do we kind of, I don't know how to say toe the line, but I don't know how else to say it. When it comes to our friends that are maybe newer in the faith or maybe not Christians at all. And they're asking for prayer and they're like, yeah, we want to believe that God can do the impossible. Mm-hmm. But you know, you're knowing that God could heal some, like say someone has cancer or someone's dying and, they're wanting to see healing and they're mm-hmm. basically like, well, you know, if God can do the impossible, then mm-hmm. heal this person. Mm-hmm. So how do we walk that line with people that aren't mm-hmm. necessarily believers without seeming like phony or frauds or saying like, well, this wasn't in his will. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, how do we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's what's going to be hard for a non-believer because mm-hmm. a non-believer is never going to, they're not going to track with the same mindset with us. So I know as we're talking about new believers, but when you think about non-believers, there's just certain people that are just going to look at us as like, well, that's just foolish. This is stupid. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to trust God because they don't even have the ability mm-hmm. to see God through the light of his will and his desires and all of that. When it comes to new believers, that's a hard question. Really, yeah. It is
because what if they're like, well, God didn't do what we were praying for, this impossible, mm-hmm. so maybe he isn't almighty.
Yeah,
and so how do you
do
it, explain to them in a way that's helpful?
Yes. So one of the things I think with that is when you say, how do we explain to them? First thing that pops in my mind is, yes, we should try to explain to people things, but ultimately our explanations aren't the thing that is not the thing that's going to make them accept whatever is being said. That's between them and God.
Sure.
Yes, we speak truth and all that. Mm-hmm. But so it goes back to prayer for a moment. Let's think about prayer this way. Well, I've been praying for this, but God never did it. Well, then that's a misunderstanding of one, who God is, but also two, the purpose of prayer. Prayer is not about me bending God to my desires and will, mm-hmm. right? It's never about, and even in good reason. So I love this person, they're dying of this disease, or you know, and I want God to heal them. I'm praying that. We always have to understand that even though we pray it, prayer is never meant to be this, you know, like, God, I asked for it, you're supposed to do it. And I think there's confusion in scripture with that because Jesus says, ask anything in my name and mm-hmm. you'll receive it. That is, ask anything in my name that is within my will and within my glory. Like, this is mm-hmm. what I want,
yeah.
right? The desires of your heart. So another scripture talks about delight yourself in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart. Okay. We misinterpret that. Well, I'm praying because, Lord, I'm telling you the desires of my heart, mm-hmm. but you're not delighting in the Lord. You're not about the Lord's business. You're not about the Lord's will. So I think one of the things is trying to help people when they wrestle with that to understand there's nothing wrong against your request. There's nothing wrong in asking God to do the impossible. There's nothing wrong in those kind of things. But is your intention in your presence before God and your desire to seek God, where is your desire to be drawn closer to God or trying to draw God closer to you? Meaning, like, God, I want to bend you to my will versus, Lord, I'm coming to you to let mm-hmm. you bend me to your will.
Ooh, that's good. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because we all are going to come with, you know, I would do the same thing. If somebody I loved, if one of my children or my wife, yes, Lord, I'm going to, like, had a Lord, save their life. If there was a moment where that was happening, I was mm-hmm. like, you need to do this. I still have to do that heart check. Am I basically trying to say, Lord, you need to come my way? Or I'm praying this, and this is where I'm starting, but I'm asking you to bring me your way.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So, but I'm a firm believer when we pray for things, pray with expectation, mm-hmm. right? But be prepared to let God pull you.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with my kids. I want my kids to come to me and have the freedom to ask me what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm still going to say no for certain things. Sure. You know, it was kind of like we were out the other day and we were driving around Cedar Rapids, spending some time together. It was getting close to lunchtime. Piper, I'm hungry. Okay. Mm-hmm. What do you want for lunch?
Don't let that girl get right? hangry.
Well, this is, yeah, you're right. She's one. But we're like, what do you want for lunch? First thing out of her mouth, Freddy's ice cream.
Ooh, yes, girl.
Okay, but here's the thing.
I'm with her on
She
that.
Wasn't asking for Freddy's.
Uh-huh.
She wanted Freddy's ice cream.
Yeah.
It wasn't she wanted to go eat a meal at Freddy's and then have ice cream.
I mean, their fries are really good, too.
So, but here's the thing. So we, as a parent, she started with her request.
Yeah.
And as her parents, we said, no, you're not having ice cream for lunch.
Wah, wah.
I know. She was very sad, right?
Did she at least get ice cream for dessert?
She did not because she, that's
wow.
the thing. When she knew she was just, she had to have lunch.
Man.
No, wait, she did. Oh, I take that back. She did, because she's really good at this, because she didn't want Freddy's, but then she goes, I want Burger King. Can I have a shake with it? And so we're like, sure, you can have a shake. So she got her ice cream.
Okay. But did she get Burger King shake?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Like, she.
Gotcha.
But that's what I'm saying. It's like, as a parent, it's not just because she made the request.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean as a parent we're automatically like, oh, yeah. Yeah, we'll give you that. Mm-hmm. Like, we're going to say no because there's reasons we say no.
Yeah.
And that's why I say when we approach God, it's the same way. And that's where.
Burger King.
Okay. I know, doesn't it?
Like, I'm trying to track with you, but all I'm thinking about is a Whopper. Right,
I'm not
now.
Thinking that. I said Burger King. I started thinking Hardee's breakfast. And I'm like, there's still 23 minutes. But I wouldn't be able to make
it. No, you wouldn't.
But that's what we have to understand with prayer and seeking God in the impossible, mm-hmm. is we make our request. Nothing wrong with making the request. Mm-hmm. But you have to do it with the mindset that then we allow God to take us where he wants to take us, towards him. Not us bending him towards us.
So can we change God's mind through prayer?
Can we change? That's like one of the greatest questions
I know.
I ever. Okay, so scripturally, we have moments where it seems like man intercedes. But in those instances, here's, I'm going to say this. I don't know.
Okay? Yeah.
I'm with you. But I'm going to say it this way. Mm-hmm. When I have those moments where I see in scripture, so you take Abraham as the great example.
Yeah.
Where, you know, God was going to destroy the city, Sodom and Gomorrah, and he intercedes and God says, fine, I'll do this. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that was necessarily Abraham changing God's mind or God in his awesomeness conforming Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Like he was doing a work in Abraham, not God being like, well, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
That God don't change his mind like that.
Right.
Like, oh, man, thank you, you creature that I made that is now schooling me in what's right. No.
Yeah.
No.
I've been wrestling with this a lot as I've been spending more time in the minor prophets, because there's just so many exchanges of where God is so mad at Israel and is wanting to just pour his wrath out. But then he always comes back to the fact that he, you know, is going to leave a remnant and isn't going to wipe them out completely.
Yeah.
And so I don't know, like, you just see this back and forth so much. So yeah, I've definitely been there.
Yeah.
Ugh, yeah. It's crazy.
It's hard. Yeah. And that sometimes I wonder if in those instances, so take Abraham again, God had two options. Maybe God comes in those moments and he gives us two options. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to say, like, the outcome is totally dependent upon us, because God's going to do what God wants to do.
Yep.
But he's like, option one is either way, Sodom and Gomorrah got destroyed.
Right?
Either way, that was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But God gave an opportunity to grow Abraham in a way in that moment, where Abraham could have been like, oh, okay, you're going to go destroy it. Cool. And just sat back and...
Right.
So there's, I don't know, it's interesting.
Kind of a lesson in interceding.
And that's, again, goes back to God changing us and asking for the impossible. Ask for the impossible, but then realize that he's giving us the ability to allow him to grow us and mature us and draw him to himself if we allow him to, or we just, I want this. We could be like Jonah then.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm just going to sit on the hill and I'm going to be mad because you didn't do it the way I thought you should have done it.
Yeah.
Well, you missed out there, Jonah.
You know. I always wonder what happened to Jonah.
Well, maybe, hopefully you'll find out.
Because it's just such an abrupt, sad ending to that book. Like, there's no closure, really. And like, okay, guess we'll find out someday, huh?
Well, yeah, we'll find out how long he sat on that hill.
Yeah.
Pouting.
So, and going back to that original statement about God, you know, bringing the impossible to be possible. Okay. So is there ever a time that we can, or other people can, twist that into to mean something it doesn't?
Oh, absolutely. It goes back to Philippians, you know, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's,
I appreciated that too.
Well, yeah, it's like a mantra that we, you know, like, I can do all things, you know. So I'm going to tell a really stupid story.
Okay, yes.
And I never tried it, but in my brain I remember thinking this. So this is a really stupid story. This is when I was probably in kindergarten or first grade. Used to attend East School.
Yes. Okay?
So it was like a big castle.
East.
You know, kind of, in my brain. So I remember watching the episode of He-Man, Masters of the Universe. There was an episode where He-Man had to pick up Castle Grayskull to save it. Okay? That's impossible. Don't ask me why. But for some reason, I was sitting there one day at recess looking at the East School, and I was like, man, if we we can do all things through Christ, like maybe he'd give me strength to lift up this. I remember having this thought. Yeah. Like,
man, you had deeper thoughts when you were that age than I did.
Well, I don't know if I was quoting the verse, but I was. I was like, man.
I was not thinking
that. I wonder if I could pick that thing up, you know? It was a very short-lived thought. It's not like I sat there for the entire recess trying to figure this out. I just remember very vividly thinking like, huh, I wonder if a person could, you know, if I could pick up this building.
Yeah.
You know, because, of course, He-Man did it, and God is all-powerful. But that's the foolishness of what we do. We try to do our own thing, and we expect God to bless it with his strength. Mm-hmm. And then we wonder why it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
Right. And that's where we twist it. Oh, of course I can do all things. Like I can run, you know, I can, this is the foolishness. That's where I think there's times where God lets us run ahead of him and then we get in trouble. And he's just like, you weren't supposed to do that in the first place. Stop it. You know? And so when you look back in the context of that, Paul's talking very specifically about what he can do for, he's basically like, I've abandoned myself to serve Christ. That's what he's talking about. I've abandoned myself to serve Christ. And I know what it's like to be well fed, to be starving. I know what it's like to have everything I need and have nothing I need. Like he is basically saying, when I give myself to the entirety of the purpose of God, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That's the context. Not this. I can anything in life. I can do it. Right? Like I can, you know, it's kind of
can manifest it.
Yeah, like visualize it. Whoa. And you're going to make it. Like again, I don't want to make it sound negative, but when you think about just even sports, right? Like being a great go work at it. I can do it. God can use that and glorify himself through people. But at the same time, it's not this, well, I prayed to Jesus and he's going to make me the greatest sports person ever or the greatest business person ever. He's going to give me the greatest business that I'm going to be rich. I'm going to be, I can do all things through Christ. Stop. No. I mean, I only say that because God's not up there, you know, he's in all the details, but at the same, he's like, that's not going to bring me glory. So I'm not going to. No, you're doing that for you, not for me.
Yep.
So that's where the cutoff comes. Who's it for? It's kind of like even when we pray for healing is, and so when I say this, it's not to, because I know there's people that struggle that really are in pain and like, I want healing. But we also have to ask ourselves, am I praying for healing for the glory of God? Or because what if God came and said, I'm going to be more glorified in giving you the strength to go through this? Like that's going to give me more glory. I can use you more in this suffering. Like, can we then say, you know what? I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. I can, it's versus the, I want the impossible heal me.
Yeah.
It's hard. I don't want to say it's easy, but
yeah.
Anyways.
Okay. So moving on to this past Sunday, we kind of talked about this at staff meeting yesterday about all of the, little details you pulled out to show us about, how things lined up, like Jesus' sacrifice lined up with like Passover and all that. Love that stuff. Yeah. Absolutely love it. Like that's some of my favorite. It kind of reminds me of, like in the, okay, you're going to be really, hopefully really proud of me.
Okay. Here we go.
Okay. So it kind of reminds me of like in the Marvel movies, like there's all these like little Easter eggs and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it's kind of the same thing, you know, like those are cool little things that you wouldn't normally see. And, I love all those crazy little details that align and just,
and all of a sudden it makes
marvel
the whole,
more at God.
It makes the whole story just like, that's awesome.
Yeah, like he's so awesome.
And then you kind of feel like you're in the know, especially with Marvel. It's like, I knew that. Like, I saw that. So yeah, no, I get that.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm sure that everyone really appreciated that. Did you have any, I guess I didn't really have any big questions from Sunday, but did you have any other things from the sermon that you didn't get to elaborate on? Or
not necessarily anything that we didn't elaborate on. I go back to what you just said is, that's what I loved about that sermon was, we read the Bible and we don't know there's so much happening.
Yes.
Because it's not our culture. So I shared this with a couple of people afterwards that when going through all that timeline stuff of, you know, the 10th and being Lamb Selection Day and all of that, that didn't come about, that was a God thing. Like, I was sitting here kind of reading stuff, and I was mm-hmm. and I was like, and I never thought about it before, and I never researched it. Like, that was not something that I had, like, pulled back, like, oh, I can't mm-hmm. wait to pull that. I actually have the notes somewhere. I had to sit down in three different times. I had to write out the days to make sure my timing was yeah. right, because yeah. it was so hard for my brain to, like, our culture versus their culture, mm-hmm. because I kept writing it out. And here's why. Because I went and looked it up, because there is still a Jewish calendar, mm-hmm. and you can look up, so these dates are still. And I was like, oh, this is amazing. And I started looking at it, and I was like, oh, I got to look up what the Jewish calendar is. And so when I looked it up, the dates don't line up anymore mm-hmm. for this year. Because sure. I was like, oh, that's going to be the coolest thing ever to say. To yeah. say, hey, you know what today is? And be like, this is amazing. The dates didn't line up.
Darn.
So then I'm sitting there going like, oh, maybe this isn't real. Like, maybe I'm kind of making this, you know,
right.
like it's close, but this isn't. Uh-huh. So then I had to look up stuff, and basically then I found out that our calendars, I don't know, however many hundred years ago mm. or whatever, they changed something in the way we do our calendar. Mm. So now they don't line up the like they okay. used to. So I was like, oh, okay. So I'm like getting into all these geeky, you know, like, yeah. okay, that makes me feel better.
Yeah.
But it's still really cool because the dates are still very close. We are mm-hmm. still, I mean, I think the 9th of the Jewish calendar was Friday. I mean, they're still really close, you know, sure. at time. But they didn't line up perfect. Like, okay. I was wanting to be like, oh, Sunday, yeah. look, it's Lamb Selection Day and all this.
Yeah.
But I did. I had to sit down there and I had to write it out. I had to be like, okay, mm-hmm. sunset to sunset, this would be their day. But for us, it's...
Right.
And I had to match, you know, to make sure that I was... Because I didn't want to get up there and say it and then somebody come be at like, listen, I looked at it myself. Because I wanted to, you know... But that was... Yeah. It was fun. It was... Doing that was kind of fun yeah. because it puts you into this cultural... Mm-hmm. context. And then it made, and I don't know what everybody else thought, but the part that I geeked out the most with was mm-hmm. the Mark passage that I shared mm-hmm. where it talks at this very obscure, because again, most people read, if you read John and you read Matthew and you read Luke, it makes it sound like he came in, the first thing he did mm-hmm. was go to the temple and he cleared it. That's what it makes it sound like, because it goes from triumphal entry to he clears the temple. Mm-hmm. Then there's just this one statement in Mark that says he goes to the temple, looks around, it was late already, he leaves yeah. for the night.
And just at you know, a regular reading, you'd probably miss
it. You'll never even like think that. About it. Yeah. And then so I'm sitting there as I'm studying this, I'm thinking, wow, that's awesome. So I was like, now I got to yeah. know what that means. That word means late. Like, what does that mean? Are we yeah. talking afternoon? What does that mean?
Yeah.
And then looking up like the old King James, you know, the mm-hmm. the word used there was eventide. And I was like, well, what does eventide mean? Yeah. So I looked that up and it said evening. Uh-huh. I'm like, this is, I'm just sitting there like, this is so mm-hmm. cool. So then I look up, you know, what the original word is in the language, and it mm-hmm. it meant evening. So I'm sitting here, what an amazing detail that we would just skip over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That here he is standing at the temple with all the other sheep that have been herded there, ready for the next day when yep. everybody starts selecting their sheep. And mm-hmm. here's the Lamb of God standing yeah. in the temple when the 10th starts.
Yeah, that's cool.
I mean, it's just yeah. so it made me, because even now reading, so right now I'm reading through Genesis and I'm studying through mm-hmm. Genesis. And I've read this so many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I ever stopped. Do you know that there's dates given for when the flood actually happened?
Mm.
Like actual dates.
Mm-mm.
The like the 17th of the second month.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, but that
yeah.
if that's going by the Jewish calendar, we okay. are given the actual date
uh-huh.
when the flood happened. And I'm sitting here reading it last night, and I just kind of sat there like, I never really stopped to consider that. It doesn't, it's not, that's such a cool detail, because mm-hmm. people want to say it never happened.
Right.
And the Bible even is giving you the date that it mm-hmm. happened.
Mm-hmm.
This is the day on the calendar.
Yeah.
That we can circle and say, that's when the flood happened. This is the anniversary of the yeah. flood starting.
That's the cool thing about scripture to me, is it doesn't matter how many times you read something. Like, God's always revealing new mm-hmm. things to us. And I just love that.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where, I would encourage, because some people will hear this and it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But that's one of the reasons why going deeper into your study
yes.
of just even understanding culture.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, because that changes everything.
It changes everything.
We're so far removed from yeah. that it's so hard for us to understand yeah. that. But Genesis is a perfect example of one of those books that we've heard all these Bible stories. You know, if you grew up in the church, you've heard all these Bible stories. But like actually reading through it
mm-hmm.
and digging deeper into it, they're pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I love that, though. I absolutely love that.
So that's where I would say, you know, and just clarification of that sermon is, and what you just said, how many times have you heard the triumphal entry story?
Yeah.
But you never really stop and say, what's really happening here? Like, we just, you know, I would always grow up reading it and, you know, and hearing about it. And it's just like, oh, cool, they got some palm branches. There was symbolism to that. Right? The idea, actually, one of the things I didn't say in the sermon that I thought was interesting, I brought up the zealots. But when one of the things I was reading is by them waving the palm branches, that was actually that was basically an insult to Rome. It was basically like if the zealots were there, and we know that there was a couple zealots in the disciples. Like that would have been, because they're waving like, this is our sign of victory. This is our king. They're basically in the face of Rome saying, we're sticking it to you, basically. And it reminded me of a teaching I heard once. I was on Palm Sunday, about Palm Sunday, and this was from a charismatic, you know, so not saying that in a bad sense, but this was like, he was trying to promote people to raise your hands in worship and use, you know, your hands expression. And one of the things he said is like, isn't it cool that God, and I just remember this, he's like, isn't it cool God gave you your own palm branch to basically wave in the face of the enemy to say, I am victorious. He's like, you got a palm and your arm is a branch. Wave that sucker. He's like, let the enemy know. I am victorious. This is my victory.
That's great.
My worship is my victory. And so, just little details like that, the robe being laid down, like to us, it's like, oh, they threw their coat down. Big deal. That would have been their most prized possession. The most important thing, you know, and in scripture, there's actually, and I mentioned this, but I didn't say what it was, but in the Old Testament, it says, if you give your cloak to somebody as a credit or for collateral for a loan, that cloak is so important. God put a law in the Bible that said, okay, so if you give me your cloak, when sundown comes, I have to give it back to you. Because you need to be able to have that to wrap around you, keep yourself warm. That's how important it was. It was your sense of identity, your well-being. It's the most prized possession that most people, and these were poor people. This wasn't the rich that were doing this. They were laying down. There's just so much there, and we just gloss over it because we just picture Jesus. Oh, he rode in on a donkey. Cool. So
I told you guys yesterday that we watched The Passion of the Christ earlier this week with Tyler for the first time. And we hadn't seen it in years and years and years. So it was kind of fun, you know, as we're watching it, Scott and I are discussing like, oh, did this was in the Bible, was it? Or like, what did they add and what was different? And so that, I don't know, it was just from a different perspective now that I'm more familiar with the Bible. And so, it was kind of a good little discussion.
The more you know, the more you can talk about it, and the more you can point out errors.
Things we can
too.
Point out, things to like, Tyler.
You know, so that's not the way it was.
Yeah, or things we could add. Like, it was interesting.
So it's just a good rule of thumb. Let's not get familiar with scripture. I mean, don't sit there and say, oh, I know this story. Like, how much do you really know that story? You know, and dig into what is happening. So, anyways.
Cool. So, Easter this Sunday. We still have another week or two in this series, or do you know?
A couple weeks at least.
Okay.
A couple to three.
Where are we going after Easter? Do you know?
So, we're going to probably talk a little bit more in depth about, you know, so that was kind of what was nice about the triumphal entry is talk about Jesus on a mission. And being on the narrow road, we're also given a mission. So we're probably going to talk a little bit about evangelism. We're going to be talking about, you know, our responsibility that we're not on the road in isolation. You know, kind of one of the things that maybe the picture that we'll probably present is we need to see the two roads almost like parallel with each other. And our responsibility is to try to get other people like, hey, there's a road, right? Like, don't be on that one. Come to this one.
Kind of Pilgrim's Progress, sort of.
In a way, So we're going to talk about that, that we're not in this isolated. It's all about, I'm on my road. It's all good. I do my thing. So we'll talk about that at least 1 week. So that'll be probably what that'll be what we do next. Is kind of talking about the mission. Jesus was on a mission, so are we.
You heard it here.
So, yeah, you heard it here.
No, I'm just kidding.
You never know.
He may feel differently. He may
feel differently.
Oh, all right. Well, enjoying the series. I think everyone's really enjoying the series because, you know, we can, it's encouraging to, one, see fruit, I think, in our own walks, but also it's encouraging in, like, conviction, I think, that you know, we're all being sanctified. We're never at the top or whatever you want to call it. Like, there's always room to grow. And yeah.
So, well, I hope so.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening.